we thank you for this wonderful morning. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our souls this morning, that you would encourage and edify. Lord, that you would uplift the heavy soul. Lord, thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we thank you for this church and what it stands for. We thank you for men to be able to stand behind this and to preach your holy and infallible word. Lord, we just thank you so much that the word is central here in this church. Lord, we pray also that the same would go for Meadowview Mennonite Church here in the county. Lord, that they would proclaim your word boldly, that the ones in the Big Laurel community would just learn more of you. Lord, we also thank you for Grace Baptist Church in Commerce, Georgia, from the RB Network. Lord, be with our elders, Murray Brett and Gary Shaw. Lord, that you would just hide them also behind the cross, that your word would go forth boldly in Georgia as it does here within Ashe County in the United States. And Lord, we pray for other faithful men throughout the world, in Ukraine, in Russia, and all these other countries, that you would send pastors and missionaries. Lord, we do thank you for ones that have the burden to go and to plant churches and to be a missionary and to tell others in dangerous places the love of Christ and their need of a Savior. Lord, we know there's many people that are unreached, and this morning we do pray for the Lofofa people of Sudan. Lord, that they would have your word in their native tongue, that they may be able to freely read your word whenever they would like, that you would extend your salvation to them also. Lord, we know that you are sovereign and you have a plan that it is perfect in every single way. 2024, there are still so many without the word of God in their native language. Lord, help us to share Pastor Scott's burden for these unreached people groups, that your word is central to our lives. We pray that it is to theirs also. Lord, for the persecuted church of Yemen, Lord, that even if they are suffering persecution and tribulation and trials and troubles, that they would stand firm on your foundation, that no matter what, to be here is to be away from the Lord, but to be away from here is to be present with the Lord. Lord, we thank you for just an opportunity to serve a merciful God. Lord, we also want to pray this morning for all these wars and these various places. We know there's war in Israel and Gaza and Ukraine and Russia. Lord, we just pray for those that are trying to flee those areas and to get away. Lord, we know these wars have been going on for sometimes a short time, or even with Ukraine for over 2 years. Lord, we pray for their endurance, that your hand would save souls even during these conflicts, that people would realize that there is a God that created them, that loves them, that created all things. Lord, we just pray that you would place the right people in the right spots, as you have promised us in Isaiah 55, that your word will not return unto you void, that it will prosper to where you have sent it. Lord, we pray for our military, the men and women that serve, that they would do so wholeheartedly, not just as an opportunity to gain college credits or college money or any other incentive, but to protect this nation. Lord, we just thank you for the leaders of the military, that you would give them godly wisdom and that you would save their souls. Lord, we just want to take this time this morning. And we may not understand everything fully yet. Lord, we thank you for your hand of protection on the assassination attempt of former President Trump. Lord, that you would help this to open his eyes, that there is a God, that human life, even in the womb, is precious. Lord, we are commanded and told to pray for our leaders and our former leaders. And even if he's running for office again, Lord, we pray for wisdom for this man. Lord, we also pray for wisdom for our current president, Joe Biden. Lord, that you would even save his soul, that you would give him good, godly principles, and that you would call him to yourself, that he may lead this nation in the rest of his term good and wise. Lord, it's sometimes hard to pray for stuff that we don't agree with. But Lord, we are asked and we are told to pray for our leaders. Help us to be sincere in our thoughts and our prayers. Lord, we thank you for the leaders here in our county, the mayors and the sheriff, and Lord, just the ones that stand in the job that you have called them to. Lord, we also want to just thank you for all that you have done. Lord, we just do pray that you would use those attacks at that rally for eyes to see a sovereign God. Be with the families that lost loved ones or that got injured. Lord, you know all things. Lord, we pray for Brother George and Grace Ann and the loss and passing of his brother. Lord, that you would continue to send them comfort. Whether there's understanding or not, just give your big arms around them and let you know that you are still a God that cares. Lord, thank you for being gracious to them and having them a part of this church that is so loving and caring and serving to them, I pray. Lord, we also want to remember Beth Ann Accordion and the loss of her husband, John. Lord, we know that it's hard to leave a mission work over in Arizona with the tribe that they were witnessing to. But Lord, please give wisdom. Lord, we pray for her that you would comfort her and always be with them. Lord, we thank you for their service and their sacrifice. And Lord, we thank you for healing Brother John. Also, Lord, we know there's many sick. Lord, we thank you for shrinking Dan's growth. We know that that come from you, but Lord, we pray that that would open Dan's eyes to see that there is a God, the great physician, that can do all things. Lord, we also just want to pray for ones that have coworkers that ask for prayer, but they're not able to give details. Lord, you know what we stand in need of before we even ask it. So, Lord, we just pray that you would have your will in that way. Also, Lord, we just pray for wisdom during our business meeting later. Lord, we pray for Christ alone, as Brother Josh preaches to them this morning. May your word be delivered faithfully and with power and glory. Lord, be with Christ alone as they are without a pastor, Lord, that you would please send someone to shepherd the flock. Lord, we thank you for that church and the friends and brothers and sisters in Christ within it. Lord, we also pray for healing for Brother Tim's foot, that it would continue to heal so. Lord, help them to adjust in Florida, Tim and Cindy, and that they may love those grandchildren. Lord, I want to thank you for just being able to start babies in the womb, that we are so small. Lord, we thank you for Kaylee and Ethan and the wonderful news of a baby and expectancy. And Lord, we just pray that that little baby will grow well and strong, that Ethan would be able to shepherd his wife and family well, and that Kaylee would feel good and remain healthy. Lord, we thank you for all things. Lord, we thank you for answered prayer and for healing. Lord, we thank you for little Zoe Lawrence, that she would continue to heal. Thank you for Christina Graybill, and Lord, just help to heal, continue to heal her. Lord, we just know you're an awesome God, and glory is and praise is due to your name. Lord, we know there's many that have the desire to come out and to hear your word taught and to preach and to fellowship. But Lord, we pray for Janice this morning, and Jack, and Jackie, and others that are shut in and that are not physically able. Lord, we thank you for technology that we are able to record videos and sermons and live stream things that others that are not able to physically attend in this due season, may they receive a blessing also. Lord, thank you for their patience and, Lord, comfort their hearts. Lord, as we mentioned, we know there's many traveling. We pray for the Day family as they travel. And, Lord, just thank you for the visitors. And, Lord, we know that some have traveled a long ways. We pray for traveling grace and mercy on them. Lord, this morning we do lift up Brother John Williams as he prepares to bring the words of Christ, that it would minister grace and endurance to our hearts. Lord, uplift us and encourage us. Thank you for all that you've done. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen. Brother John.
Good morning. Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And if I could sing, I would belt it out right now after being here for Sunday school and now already into the worship service. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that that sweetness comes from the Lord who is here among his people who are seeking his face and singing his praise and casting our cares on him because he cares for us, and drawing near to him because he has drawn near to us. And I appreciate Nathan leading us into the throne room and others through music and prayer. And the Lord knows what each and every one carries this morning, what each and every one has experienced this past week, whether it be happy things or hard things. The Lord knows what each one feels. The Lord knows who got good rest last night and who didn't. And how great is our God and how compassionate is he toward us in every detail. And we're going to read together a passage just in a moment. But as we read that passage together, one incident or one setting in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, we're going to see how attentive Jesus is to everything going on around him. And we can be encouraged that he is attentive to us as well. And as we seek him in worship, and we're told in the scripture to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, and call out to me, and I will tell you great and mighty things that you don't know, and Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so before we read that passage together, I want to pray again and just give thanks to you, Lord. Even as we continue to pray for those languages that do not yet have your word in their heart language, Lord, we thank you that you have delivered your word to us in the English language. And yet, even then, you don't leave us to figure it out ourselves, but by your Holy Spirit, you speak to us sometimes deeper than words can convey, and you draw us to yourself through your word, by your Spirit, and you refresh us, just like the wind that's blowing through the building is refreshing to feel. Lord, you refresh us by your Holy Spirit as you minister your word to us, your comfort. And Lord, we see Jesus this morning in our songs and in our scripture passages and in our interactions with each other. And we would ask you that Jesus be high and lifted up among us, even as we look at this particular passage from your holy and inspired and inerrant word. And we thank you that you have spoken and not been silent. And Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to be attentive to all that you would say. And Lord, feed each and every one of us with that nourishment that we need. And only you know the depths of it for each and every one. And send us away having been well fed and having been freshly encouraged as to your all sufficiency to us in Christ. We praise your name. We love you because you first loved us. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we are, and we have accessing Jesus. And before you throw the words on the screen, have you ever been frustrated trying to access something on the phone or the internet? Raise your hand if you have. Or maybe for the young ones, have you ever been frustrated in trying to get mom or dad's attention, and they're there, but they've got lots of other things going on, and you just can't get through to them? Do you ever find yourself frustrated that way? Thank you for your honesty. Well, we're going to see today that there was a group of friends, and they were trying to access Jesus, and they were frustrated. And we're going to read about what happened, and let us be encouraged. So our text is Mark chapter 2. And thank you, Brandon and Christian, for putting that on the screen for us. Let's, as a congregation, stand and read that together, if we could. When he had come back to... Let's read that together. And what version is that? Excuse me, I had the wrong one. I started out with that. Okay. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. You may be seated. Thank you for reading this portion of God's word together. And Lord, thank you for speaking your word to us. Look around the room for a moment and see if anything reminds you of Jesus. The lights. Jesus is the light of the world. The floor or the platform. Jesus is the sure foundation. The faces around us, displaying his creative genius in creating each and every one of us in his very image. Each one of us unique, with unique capabilities and talents and interest, and God desiring to shine forth himself through each and every one of us as we give ourselves into a personal relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ. And to look around us and see a small number of all the redeemed with whom we shall worship the Lord one day forevermore, unhindered by anything. As we look at this passage, let's look and see what we can learn of Jesus and what he would say to us. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, and I don't know that Jesus ever had jet lag because he never went that far, but he was afflicted with everything with which we are afflicted. And there is the stress and strain of leaving home and being somewhere else and then coming back home and reorienting and reacclimating to home. Would you say that's true? Even going to work, that's an adjustment. Then coming home, that's an adjustment. Then getting up the next day is an adjustment. Jesus knew all about that. And Capernaum was one of those places that he often called home, and word got around that he was at home. And they didn't even have social media or cell phones or telephones or the ways that we normally see that news gets around, and yet word got around that Jesus was back in town, and they were interested, and some had become believers already, and some were still wondering. And maybe that's where some of you are today. You already know the Lord, and by God's grace and Spirit at work within you, you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And others of you are still sort of pondering this whole Jesus thing and wondering what he's all about. Well, the crowd most likely contained all of those and many more postures and mindsets. But anyway, as word got around, verse 2, many were gathered together. They came together. They came together to see Jesus, to see more of Jesus, to learn more from Jesus, to find out more of what he's about. And he invites us likewise to investigate and to draw near to him because he has drawn near to us and keeps on drawing near to us. And so many were gathered together that there was no more room, not even at the door. It'd be great if more people were here this morning, but it's nice that we're not packed in here like sardines, isn't it? To where not one more person could get into the room. And people being outside wanting to get in, but there's no room even to fit in. That's the picture Scripture paints with words for us here of what was happening that day. And it was all about Jesus. And I'm every time we come up here to the gathering, it encourages me and it encourages Yarby that this place called the gathering and you people called the gathering are all about Jesus. And how refreshing that is to our souls. And what was Jesus doing? He was preaching the word to them. Jesus, who is the word become flesh, he was speaking the word to them. Just like he speaks to us by his spirit with the instrument of his word. And his word packs some power, doesn't it? More power than we know about. More power than we've ever seen. The biggest bombs that have ever blown have lots of power, but nothing compared to the power of God's word. Imagine nothing. Just like we can't imagine eternity, I can't imagine nothing. But when there was nothing but God, God the Father, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit spoke the universe into existence. Out of nothing. It's powerful, it's active, and it's able to penetrate to the depths of our souls and to work God's work. And Jesus was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. They came, these four men. They had a friend with them. The friend couldn't walk. He was a paralytic. He could not use his legs, even if he had them, to get around. But it seems that he does have legs, or else Jesus gave him legs by the end of this episode. But he couldn't get around. And these friends either knew Jesus or knew about Jesus, and they were wanting to access Jesus for their friend's sake. Do you have anybody on your mind this morning? That, like those four friends, you would like to somehow help them see Jesus for who he really is? Might be somebody in your family or a coworker or neighbor. You want them to see Jesus, meet him, know him, and praise God, he gives us that desire, because we wouldn't come up with it ourselves, would we? You know, apart from Christ, we have a false trinity that we worship. It's called me, myself, and I. And we're born with that false trinity that we worship. But when God interrupts us and opens our eyes and welcomes us by faith into his very throne room through the blood of Jesus poured out on our behalf, we begin to lose sight of and to even abhor that false trinity of me, myself, and I. And we begin to love the true trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He gives us a new perspective. And from that new perspective and that relationship with Jesus, we start thinking about the people around us and we start desiring good things for them. And most of all, we desire that they know this Jesus whom we've come to know. Isn't that wonderful? We who were lost but now found want others who are lost to be found. And we start loving people in a different way. These men, they were carrying this paralytic to see Jesus. And can you picture the four of them? And we've already seen the picture of the room being crammed full of people to where not even another person can walk in the door. And here they come, the four of them, with this pallet, with a man laying on it. How are they going to get in there? They can't push their way through. Because there is no way through. Verse 4, when they could not get near him, that's Jesus, they couldn't get near him. They couldn't access him because of the crowd. they used the brain God gave them, and they thought, how can we get him to Jesus? Because the normal way of getting this man in there is not working. Lord, give us another way. And they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. Do you like figuring stuff out? Some of you like figuring math out. Raise your hand. Some of you like figuring out mechanical things. Raise your hand. How to fix broken things. Good. Some of you like figuring out words, what they mean. Anybody? Some of you like figuring out what's wrong with this person. How can I apply a Band-Aid or medically, how can I minister? God gives us the ability to have compassion, and he gives each of us aptitude on different ways to be attentive to and to address the needs of those around us. And God gave these four men that day, hey, let's go up top and let's get our friend down through the roof and we'll get him to Jesus that way. How creative are we willing to be with God's help in our praying for and in our interactions with those around us who don't yet know Jesus? Lord, help us to creatively introduce those around us to Jesus. Well, they went up on the roof. Now picture with me a roof which wasn't like this, but it was a roof. And picture somebody going up there right now. Do you think we could hear them? Probably. Somebody's on the roof. And then, as they are making an opening in the roof, are we going to hear some more? They didn't have a reciprocating saw. And yet, with their hands, they removed whatever covered the roof. And as they worked their way through whatever layers there were on the roof, do you think any of that stuff fell down inside? Have you ever tried to dig a hole through something and catch all the stuff that's going to fall below? You just can't do it, can you? So here is Jesus, the Son of the living God, preaching the Word of God, and all of a sudden these noises from on high and this stuff, whatever stuff comprised the roof, started sprinkling down and then maybe pouring down and dropping down into the crowd. And the people on whom that stuff fell, they couldn't get away, could they? Because the room was crammed full already of people. What an interruption. What an interruption. And yet, Jesus didn't miss the opportunity to minister. He just changed course with what he was doing. But he kept on task with the Father's will and purpose for him. And he can help us like that. How many of you get irritated by interruptions? Is there anybody in the room that does not get irritated by interruptions? That says, hey, an interruption, that's great. We can't be like Jesus in our own strength, but boy, he can help us. As he fills us up more and more with himself, we become emptier and emptier of ourselves. And interruptions we begin to see with a whole new perspective. Hey, thank you, Lord. This is a divine appointment. A divine appointment to hear something from you or to share something or to change track to your glory. And he can help us with that. And he never leaves us by ourselves to figure all that out and say, you figure that out. No, he says, call out to me and I will answer you. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of me and I'll not hold back. How great is our God. And he helps us to be more like Jesus, even though we can't be more like Jesus ourselves. So they finished making their hole as big as it could be, and it probably wasn't trimmed out nicely. It was just a hole, and stuff probably kept falling the rest of that day. But they got it big enough, and it had to be pretty big, didn't it, for them to let down a pallet that a man was on, and whether they had ropes or vines or some kind of or clothing tied up to hold the four corners to where they could let down the man carefully without dropping him and causing more injury than he already had. So this was not just a quickie, was it? What an interruption. The hole, and now this man comes out of the roof, and he's coming down slowly, carefully, to where he's down in front of Jesus. And Jesus saw something. He saw their faith, didn't he? Perhaps every eye in the place that could see him through the crowd, over the crowd, or up there somewhere on the floor now, after seeing him drop through the roof, their eyes were on that man, weren't they? And rightfully so. But Jesus didn't leave them out. He saw their faith. And he noticed it. And he notices when you and I trust him. He notices when you and I, like the song that we sang, one of several songs, where even when we don't know what's going on, we trust you, Lord. We're going to believe you. We're going to obey you. Jesus notices that, and he's honored. Do you ever feel honored as a parent or as a sibling? And one of your other siblings, or when your children, you're explaining something you need them to do, and they don't know what you're talking about, but their response is, okay, I don't know what's going on, but you're daddy, I'm going to trust you. Does that not bless you? It blesses God. When we trust him, we have to work with the grandchildren as you work with yours, if you have any. When we instruct them to do something and the first word that comes out of their mouth is a three-letter word, and what is that? Why? And so we're working with them this weekend on that. That's the wrong answer. The wrong answer is, yes, Granddaddy. And then I want to find out why. And I'll be glad to explain it to you after you do what I ask you to do. When we trust the Lord, he is honored. And that's a sacrifice of praise that we can give to God. We're going to trust you even when we don't know what you're doing or what you're going to do. And Jesus saw something in these four men. He saw their faith. And he noticed it, even though the man was the center of attention. And what did Jesus do when he saw their faith? He said to the paralytic, "My son." Now, raise your hand if Jesus had any, if Jesus was ever married and had children. Did Jesus ever have kids? He never had any, did he? Never got married. But he said, "My son." He spoke words of endearment to this man, and he adopted him right there on the spot. "My son." He loved him by saying, "My son." We don't know if this guy had a daddy or not, but he had a spiritual father now, even the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus said, "My son." And every one of us who knows and walks with the Savior today, we've been adopted as well, haven't we? None of us are born into everlasting life when we are born to our parents. None of us are born into everlasting life when we are adopted into a church or become members of a church. We're born into the everlasting kingdom of God when we are adopted by the Savior himself. And as we learned in Sunday school, he initiates that. Before we can ever access him, he has already come to us and reaching out to us. And therefore, we can turn around and say, here I am, Lord. You come after me, and I want to come back after you. Son. And then he said, your sins are forgiven. Now, that seems sort of strange, didn't it? Maybe. Did he come, hey, I need my sins forgiven? Did the four men on the roof say that? This is a sinner, and he needs your forgiveness, Jesus. No indication in any of the Gospels that there was any mention of sin made on the part of the man who was brought or the four men who brought him. And yet Jesus went right to the heart of this man's need, didn't he? My son, your sins are forgiven. Let's chew on that a little bit. You know, I've had brain surgery, and my brain was out of whack, and it's back to abnormal now. And I've broken arms, and you have broken arms or legs, and you've been out of whack in other ways. But you know, the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Not ailments, not diseases, not distresses, not even death, not angels, not principalities, not things present, not things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? No matter how mangled we become in this sinful world, God's love can get to us, and it holds us fast, and he is our security, and he is our keeper. And he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's only one thing that can keep us cut off from God. And what is that? Sin. We may not feel like it's that big of a deal, but it does. It's that big of a deal. And we're all infected. And that's why Jesus came, didn't he? He came to address our greatest need, our sin need. Our sin, which Isaiah 59:2 says, our sins have separated us from Almighty God. Our sins have created a distance from God that we cannot atone for, that we cannot fix. But Jesus becomes our sin bearer. And through what Jesus did on the cross in his spotless blood being poured out there willingly, he provides the way back to God, who is holy, who is righteous, who is pure beyond what we can imagine, and who cannot look on nor tolerate nor accept sin and all the rottenness that goes along with it. But Jesus came that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he reached out to this man, and he adopted him as he called him his son. He endeared himself to him, and then he said, your sins are forgiven. He needed that more than he needed to walk, didn't he? I know a number of disabled people, and you probably do too, and they know Jesus. And they're whole in a way that goes way beyond maybe some other people who don't know Jesus, but they're physically fit and strong and adept and all that stuff. One of them's my brother-in-law. He's got cerebral palsy, never has walked, lives in a wheelchair, can only talk, but only so painfully can talk. But he knows Jesus, and he knows one day he'll have a new body. But he has a strong testimony, and he loves the Lord, and he knows the Lord loves him, and he knows Jesus died for him to set him free from his sin. And he knows that his sin is his greatest need. Now, verse 6, as was always the case when Jesus interacted with a crowd, there were some folks in the crowd that didn't get it yet. And I've been there where I didn't get it. And I still don't get a lot of things. But Jesus didn't leave them out of the conversation either. Because he came to seek and to save the lost, didn't he? And so here are these gainsayers, you know, they're sitting there listening to Jesus. They seemed interested enough to come, or else, like many times the religious leaders came, they were looking for something by which to catch Jesus in his words so that they might go tattletale on him and get him in trouble. But they had to speak up in the midst after Jesus did that with this man. Why does this man speak like that? They were doing this in their heart. Not out loud yet. He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, knowing all things, just like he knows all things here today with each and every one of us, the thoughts and intentions of the heart, he knows us that well. And that's scary, but that's wonderful because he loves us anyway, doesn't he? And he never sees something in you or me which makes him, oh my, I've never seen anything like that. He knows it all. And he loves you and me, and he does not flinch in his love for you and me. Well, these religious leaders were thinking about that in their hearts. And immediately, it doesn't take time for Jesus to figure out. He's right there. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, so they were thinking silently, but he said out loud to them, why do you question these things in your heart? And then he asked them a question. Which is easier, for me to tell this man on the floor, your sins are forgiven, or to say to this man on the floor, get up, take up your bed and walk? Something to think about, right? We can say, your sins are forgiven and nothing's happened. It's all inside. But to get up and walk, oh, that's supernatural. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus has that authority. We can forgive each other, and God wants us to forgive each other, whosoever sins against us. And he helps us do that because we can't do it. We need him to help us do that. But only God can ultimately forgive all our sins, can't he? Only God can do that. And Jesus has authority to do that. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't need to go somewhere else. We don't need to go through a religious routine or ritual. Jesus is all we need. Jesus spoke to one of the thieves on the cross who showed repentance and sorrow for his sin. When he told the other thief to, he didn't say this, but it sounded like it. He said, shut up. We deserve to be hanging here. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. He acknowledged that Jesus was righteous. And then he asked Jesus, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, he acknowledged that he was a king and that he wasn't through, even though he was dying on the cross. When you come into your kingdom, please remember me. That's all he got to say. And Jesus received it. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't have to go get baptized, even though we should be baptized if we're trusting in Christ. He didn't get to go join a church, even though we're told to not forsake the assembling together of believers. He didn't get to go through a class. He didn't get to do anything that is normal and usual and good and needful for believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. He was soon to die, just like Jesus was. And through some of that last words that he said, Jesus, please remember me. And Jesus forgave him and said, I'm going to take you home with me. And it'll be today. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Isn't that wonderful? That you may know. Therefore, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. He wanted those who didn't trust him, who didn't yet know him, those religious leaders who were spiteful of him and who were calling him a blasphemer, and who ultimately, some of them, by God's sovereign plan, condemned him to death on the cross, even though it was God's purpose for him to go there and die for our sins. God didn't lose his grip anywhere along the way. Praise his name. But he ministered to those Pharisees and scribes right then. And the man had no choice, I would say. He rose. This man who perhaps had never walked a day in his life. This man who lived on his pallet. This man who could only go from here to there with the help of four friends, one at each corner to get him there. This man stood up on legs that hadn't even gone through therapy. This man who hadn't had surgery, even though God provides lots of things in surgery, praise his name. But this man got up and immediately picked up his bed. Not only could he bear his weight on his legs, but he was able to pick up the bed on which he'd been living. All that time, he had strength in his arms that he hadn't had before, because what can you do when you're laying on your bed? Your limbs go, your muscles atrophy, right? If you don't use them, you lose them. And yet he got up. His legs held him. He picked up the bed, and he even walked. This man walked who maybe had never walked before in his life. And he was able to walk right then. And even though the crowd was packed in tight, somehow the Lord parted the Red Sea of all those people. And that man was able to walk and carry his bed and go out in the sight of all of them, so that they were all amazed. Certainly we would be amazed, wouldn't we? And they glorified God. They said, this is of God. This is God's doing. And they gave glory to whom glory is due. And they said, we've never seen anything like this before. I wonder what part of this situation with Jesus and the paralytic and the religious leaders and the crowd and the man on the pallet, what part has especially touched your heart? That's between you and God, but I want to pray over you and then I'll sit down. Father, thank you for your word, which is living and active and able to penetrate to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrows, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And thank you, Lord, that you lovingly speak your word to us, even through what your own word, Scripture says, is the feebleness and foolishness of preaching. And Lord, thank you that you are able by your Holy Spirit to personalize the things you've given me to say about this passage. You're able to personalize them to each and every heart, the youngest among us all the way to the oldest among us. And Lord, may we leave this place today knowing that we've been spoken to by you, that we've been addressed by you, that we have been lovingly nurtured by you, And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
If the ushers would come forward for our morning offering, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words this morning. Thank you for Brother John and him sharing what you have laid upon his heart. Lord, we also thank you this morning for the opportunity to worship through our giving so that your work may carry on. That you would use our funds for your glory, for the building of your kingdom, for the encouragement of saints, and Lord willing, the salvation of the lost people. Lord, we know that money goes every which way, from paying of bills to a pastor's salary, to even work on a building, to even comfort for children, to missionaries, to the bereaved, to those having hard time paying bills, the love and care of one another. But Lord, we pray that these funds would be used wisely and to your glory, and may you receive the worship through it. Lord, please be with us the rest of our evening. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen.
If y'all would please stand, we'll sing our last song together.